Today, we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
Moncrief on News Talk.
While employers say they have a duty of care, what exactly does that mean? Figures published today reveal that the Workplace Relations Committee only inspected 2.5% of our workplaces last year. Anne Lynn is head of the employment team at Hayes Solicitors. Good afternoon, Anne.
Good afternoon, John. Thank you for having me.
Is there a specific definition of what duty of care means?
There is a number of different definitions of duty of care. But the specific definition, I suppose, that you'd be referring to would be under the Safety, Health and Welfare Work Act. There's also then just general duties of care, which we would see in general workplaces. So I think with this report, I think it's referring to the inspector division of the WRC. But there's also then the Health and Safety Authority can conduct its own inspections. And then also, of course, individuals can bring their own claims. So this is just kind of one element of the whole workplace inspectorate or enforcement within the state.
Yeah. For things like, but somebody, for instance, might think, my office is too cold and they won't turn up the heating. Is that a legitimate grounds for a grievance?
That is a legitimate grounds for a grievance. And in fact, there are specific regulations under the Safety, Health and Welfare Work Act. So, for example, in an office environment, the temperature should be a minimum of 17.5 degrees Celsius. So we often see, like now in the winter, where employees are saying they're cold, and then we have the corresponding issues in the summer where we have the whole fights over the air conditioning units. So it is a legitimate grievance, and the employee is allowed to request or require their employer to maintain a suitable temperature in the office.
And that instance then, if they don't get satisfaction from the employer, would they then go to the WRC over something like that?
So what could they do? They could make a complaint to the Health and Safety Authority. You could do an inspection. If they made a complaint to their employer and the employer didn't do anything, and if the employee was then penalised, so if, for example, the employer said, what are you talking about? And actually, OK, I will increase the heat in the workplace, but actually you can pay for it. The employee could then claim that they were penalised, and then they could potentially go to the WRC for that, either under the Health and Safety Act, or they could say that they were a whistleblower, that they whistleblew to their employer around the workplace temperature, health and safety in the workplace, and look to get redress there. So there is a number of different angles available to the employee.
If they were to call in health and safety inspectors, how long does that take generally? Are they very available to do this kind of thing?
So what you would do is you'd have to make a complaint to the health and safety inspectors. I mean, my understanding is there isn't a team on standby to inspect workplaces over these types of investigations, but they would do or may do a workplace investigation on that specific point. But I don't think you're going to get redress today if you brought a complaint today.
Yeah, okay. But I mean, would they kind of turn up within weeks, within months?
Well, they may just in the first instance contact the employer to understand what the situation is. So if an employee is looking for immediate redress or more specific address, the port of call of if they are penalised and looking to bring a claim to the WRC might be a much more effective remedy, because if you whistleblow, you can look to bring an injunction against your employer to stop them penalising you. So on the face of that might be something that would be more immediate for the employee. But I mean, in practical terms, you would hope that an employer, once they're made aware of the fact that the office temperature isn't the correct temperature and that the employees are cold or upset about it, that they would remedy the situation.
Well, one would hope so.
You would hope.
But in the instance where someone's contacting the Health and Safety Inspectorate or the WRC, Are you named? Because people, I suppose, would be nervous about doing that unless perhaps they could be anonymous in that.
So complaints to the Workplace Relations Commission Inspectorate. So that's a very specific division of the WRC, and that's the division that conducts the inspections that we saw in the figures that were released today. So a complaint can be made to them, and it can be made anonymously. The WRC Inspectorate would then contact the employer and do an inspection. So it would be a general inspection of records. And those records are very specific. So it's typically around unpaid wages, if you don't get your holidays, if you didn't get a contract of employment. But they wouldn't specifically name you without your consent.
Right.
So the inspection would be it would be done on the employer side, but not relative to you.
Yeah. Now, in things like facilities, what are the regulations around providing a kitchen or even a kettle?
Kitchens and kettles. So an employer is required to provide you with a space to have your lunch. It doesn't necessarily have to be in a big fancy canteen, but you do need to have access to water supplies, and you do need to have access to a facility for boiling water. So the employer does have to provide you with that. Where we often see difficulties is where employees might want to bring in, for example, their own bespoke coffee machine or their own toasted sandwich maker. And then at that point, the employer would say that because they're responsible for the health and safety of the workplace, that they don't want electric goods coming in to the place of work that they didn't provide. So it's often more at that side that you see tensions there.
Yeah. And are there in workplaces where people are eating at their desks because there's no room to eat anywhere else? Is that legal?
So you would be entitled to, or you can eat at your desk. There's nothing to stop an employee eating at your desk, but equally for employers where they're required to provide a safe space, a safe place of work, that you may have a colleague complaining about that, so that employers would typically want employees to and should provide a place for employees to have food.
Yeah. Okay, so it's not strictly speaking against the rules to do that.
To eat at your desk?
Yeah.
No, an employee would be allowed to eat at their desk.
Yeah. And I presumably as well, having a bathrooms for people, toilets for people would be required.
Yeah, you need to have access or provide people with access to a bathroom. And again, going back to that practical piece for employers to provide safe and safe places of work for employees.
Right. Somebody else wants to know, one of our listeners wants to know, what happens when you have six staff, three are happy with the current heating regime and three want it increased?
I know, and that's the air conditioning wars that we talked about. So remember, the employers are required to provide a place of work at a specific temperature. As to the fights around heating, that's something different, and that's more a HR matter that HR would have to work out with the employees themselves. So once the employer provides the kind of adequate heating temperature, then that's kind of an interpersonal or a grievances between the employees, isn't it, that the employer would have to try and deal with.
Okay, yeah. And so, because presumably if, say, somebody has asthma, for instance, they would have a specific sense set of needs in relation to things like air conditioning.
Yeah, well, that's something very specific. So with asthma, we'd say that that would be a disability for the purposes of the Employment Equality Act. And if an employee has a disability, then they're entitled to reasonable accommodation from the employer. So what you'd say there is for that employee, that they would go to their doctor. And if their doctor says that they need either to move away, say, from the air conditioning unit, or they need to have some very specific requirement, then it'll be for the employee to communicate that to the employer. And then they would or should, insofar as possible, look to facilitate that. So if, for example, if it was an employee with asthma saying, I'm too near the air conditioning machine and it's impacting on my allergies, it wouldn't seem unreasonable that an employer would move that employee to another part of the floor in order to facilitate that disability.
One of our listeners says they're 30 years working in warehousing and they've only had once ever have they had a visit from health and safety. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the health and safety authority or inspector, they have their own ways and means of conducting inspections. I mean, if that individual felt that there was a reason or a need for an inspection, then you would say that they should A, complain to the employer, or B, contact the health and safety authority themselves and set out why they think an inspection is needed.
Somebody else wants to know, please ask, is there a minimum distance from where the person is based to the canteen? In our job, the canteen is a 10-minute walk each way from our office. Not a lot of time left for ordering or eating.
I don't think there's a minimum requirement for there being a distance from where you from the canteen, because an employer doesn't, of course, have to provide a canteen. So that's an additional service. So unfortunately, for your listener, they're going to have to take the walk to the canteen and back to their desk.
Somebody else wants to know, do employers need to provide separate staff toilets in the workplace from, say, customers, guests or member toilets?
The workplace, the employer does have to provide toilet access for their staff and also then for their customers, but they don't have to be separate. They don't have to be separate facilities.
Yeah. And thank you very much for speaking with us today. That was Anne Lynn there, head of the employment team at Hayes Solicitors.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.